All right, so we're looking at the last, second last set of verses for Proverbs 30. And the title for this one is The Heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant. And I'm sure we all know what that means. It's just there's a lot of transition in these specific proverbs. And so it's helpful to remember that and this in our lives to mature us and show us that all of our growth and everything that we have, His grace has brought us this far. And we can rejoice greatly in that because He's faithful and He's preparing the bride. But it's little and by little as the giants of the land are being overtaken and strengthening us. Verses 19 to 23, the way of an eagle in the air, the way of a serpent upon a rock. The way of a ship in the midst of the sea, and the way of a man with a maid. Notice the word way, and it's all talking about our relationship with Christ. It's actually an immature state, but that does mature over time. Such is the way of an adulterous woman. She eats and wipes her mouth and says, I've done no wickedness. For three things the earth is disquieted, and for four which it cannot bear. For a servant when he reigns, and a fool when he's filled with meat, for an odious woman when she's married, and a handmaid that is heir to her mistress. And like I said, next week we'll come into much more. Well, it's leaning, of course, toward the positive because it's getting prepared to show us who this woman is and the transformation that God is able to do in each of our lives. Last week we talked about the horse leech, who has two daughters who represent Ahola and Aholibah. And here again is a quote from one of Otto's studies with the book of Ezekiel that we quoted last week. Repeated here in order to help us consider the few first verses we'll look at tonight, which represent our time. In order to understand the study, this is Otto's quote. For today, we have to go back to the earlier verses to understand the context. There were two sisters, Ahola and Aholibah. Ahola was the elder, and she played the harlot with the Syrians who invaded the 10 tribes of Israel. As we indicated in the previous study, the two sisters, Ahola and Aholibah, represent the church of the Lord in different dispensations. Ahola represents the church when it was under the law of Moses, and Aholibah signifies the church after the coming of Christ. That is to say that Ahola represents our walk when we did not know Christ and walked in the churches of this world, Ahola, according to the law of Moses. Aholibah signifies our walk when we were still in the churches of this world when Christ started coming to us. The Assyrians represent the false apostles who come in the name of the Lord, but are wolves in sheep's clothing. That's the end of that quote. In this section of Proverbs we're looking at, we see them being spoken of as two daughters crying, give, give, in Proverbs 30, verse 15. And then in verses 19 to 23, this section represents the second dispensation when we are Aholibah in the church systems of this world after the first coming of Christ. So that sort of sets the stage for these few proverbs. The first one is the verse 19, the way of an eagle in the air, the way of a serpent upon a rock, the way of a ship in the midst of the sea, and the way of a man with a maid. The question or subject at hand is what we did when we were still in the church systems of this world, when Christ started coming to us to drag us out of her, my people. Remember, we were just told in verse 18 that there be three things which are too wonderful for me, yea, four which I cannot know. Which I know not, rather. That's in Proverbs 30, verse 18. This statement is a declaration of our complete immaturity. 3 plus 4, which equals 7, which is complete at this stage in our walk. And now in verse 19, the eagle, number one, the serpent, number two, the ship, three, and the maid altogether symbolize the whole four status of our yet carnal minds, represented by beasts that have not yet been brought properly into subjection unto a man who represents Christ, the bridegroom of that maid that's being spoken of. The way of a man with a maid is, in other words, although a mystery and hidden from the world, is clear to us as we are hidden in Christ. Colossians 3:3 tells us that. There we go. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. We talked about the palliative care. We die daily, and we're under Christ's palliative care spiritually, but he knows how to minister to us. And though our outward man perishes, the inward man is renewed day by day. And that's what's, we're hidden in that process. The world does not recognize this work that God's doing in his house. It's a mystery that's being revealed to the body of Christ through judgment that is upon the bride so that she can grow unto maturity in this life. And the word mystery is used twice here. 1 Corinthians 15, 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. So there you go, those who are dying daily. That's what that really means. Yes, it's the dead, but it's also those who have been dying daily, and we shall be changed. Ephesians 5, verse 31 to 33. For this cause shall a man, and actually what we just read, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. So those, the fruit of our relationships with our loved ones, it's a reflection of our relationship with Christ. And so Paul just says, don't forget this. Yes, we're putting this mystery first above all things, but we're not losing sight of our relationships with each other. The way of an eagle in the air represents the elect, who are typified by those eagle's wings that symbolize the strength that God is going to give us to come out of her, my people, a coming out that is typified by the exodus of Israel. And now, speaking of the Israel of God, whose exodus is from sin, and Christ has assured us that if the Son of Man sets us free, we'll be free indeed. So he uses all of that economy to just to show us that if he's going to deliver us, we will be delivered. And it will be at the expense of our old man, but we will be delivered. Galatians 6:16, and as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. We certainly are receiving God's mercy for being judged today. Exodus 19:4, you have seen what I did unto the Egyptians and how I bear you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Isaiah 40, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. That's another way of saying, in your patience possess you your soul. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And Christ said, men ought to pray always and not faint. So that was the parable. And if he is moving us to pray, it's for that very reason, to recognize his strength that is as the wings of an eagle. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17. Wherefore come out from among them, and be you separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. In this instance, the way of a serpent upon a rock represents the yet immature seraphim who will mature into the seraphim spoken of in Isaiah 6, verses 2 to 6. It is when we are raised in heavenly places in Christ, as Christ was raised, that we can then begin to become that mature serpent upon a rock, which rock is Christ. And that's what Christ said to Peter, upon this rock I will build my church. Christ is the rock, and we're built, the church is built upon Christ, and the gates of hell won't prevail against it. God's word tells us we have to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior in order to become that mature servant upon the rock, which growth happens in the church as we fill up what's behind in the affections of Christ, the body of Christ, by God, who gives that increase through Christ via every joint that supplies in love. So this is the verses in Isaiah that talk about the seraphim, and it's very encouraging because we know what these words mean, and we know that the typology within it. Above it, verses 2 to 6, stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, "Holy, holy, holy," acknowledging the process of being sanctified, the judgment that's upon the body of Christ, done through the Lord, is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory within the church, within the body of Christ. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then flew one of the seraphims unto me. So that's a beautiful transition. He's acknowledging his wretchedness. This is all this is telling us. And then one of the seraphim flies unto him, having a live coal in his hand, the word of God, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, which would bring the healing. Ephesians 2:6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 1:20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. So the Lord is doing that within the body of Christ right now, raising us and bringing us together for that reason, to strengthen us and to help us to remember that we're a body and we're each contributing to this growth. Matthew 16, verse 18, and I say also unto thee, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Peter represents the church. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Christ's maturing bride is also described as the way of a ship in the midst of the sea. Noah represents Christ and his body, who moved with fear, as God's elect are moving to the building up of the body of Christ in love by each joint that supplies in love. Ephesians 4:16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And God gives that increase, and of course he knows what we need before we even ask him. So we never know what your day is going to bring about and how the Lord's going to move you to pray for one member of the body or several. But those are the precious things that we're blessed to experience together. The church is typified by the breadth, the length, the depth, and height of Noah's ark, Ephesians 3:18, that was built to the saving of his house, which house we know can only be built by Christ. Unless the Lord builds the house, the weary laborers toil in vain. So this is all a work of the Lord. Ephesians 3:18, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, and the depth and height. That house typifies the few elect, typified by eight souls, which we know as a symbol of the new man in Noah's day, who are on that ark that symbolizes the body of Christ, or the first fruits of God. And this reminds us, Christ said, many are called, few are chosen. I think we have those verses, but as it was in the days of Noah, the days of Lot, it's very few, his little remnant and flock. The wisdom needed to build this ark comes from Christ alone, who has the words of eternal life that we are told, if we're blessed to continue in, will set us free. And that's what John 8, verses 31 to 36 tells us. Christ told those Jews that believed on him, if you continue. And it's not that we don't want to, it has to be an unction and a dragging to the Lord. So he was telling them straight out for our sake that there's a miracle happening. Christ is working in us, both to will and to do of God's good pleasure, as we work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Hebrews 5:7, who in the days of his flesh, which is right now, and also when he was on the earth, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Luke 12, verses 4 and 5. And I say unto you, friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body. And after that, I have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, say unto you, fear him. Hebrews 11:7, and that takes the faith of Christ. To hear that and to receive that commandment and to follow through is all of the Lord. Hebrews 11:7, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. So God makes a big deal about the faith of Christ. That's what's going to inherit the kingdom. Not the faith of man, not the wisdom of man, none of that. And Christ says the elect are so blessed to inherit that kingdom now, and the least is greater than John. So it's all pointing back to Christ, of course, and the work that he's doing in us. Luke 18, verses 7 and 8. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? And of course, the answer is he will find it in the body, but it will be very little. Proverbs 30, verse 20. Such is the way of an adulterous woman. She eats and wipes her mouth and says, I've done no wickedness. Everything we've been discussing, the way of an adulterous woman. In other words, when we are yet carnal Christians, we are shifting around a lot on that rock like a serpent would. And we get buffeted by every wind of doctrine like an eagle in the air. Our way with Christ is found wanting. And because he loves the bride, the maid, God's elect are chastened and scourged in this age, which, if we're given the power to endure such suffering, we will be prepared. He will prepare us to be in that blessed and holy first resurrection. So that's important to remember because that keeps pride at bay and we don't become conceited when we recognize, well, God's giving us that extra oil, and he's preparing the bride. So it's all a work of the Lord. As far as the instability, which these verses are talking about, there are some verses that correlate. Genesis 49:4, unstable as water, thou shalt not excel because you went up to your father's bed and defile thou it. He went up to my couch. That's speaking of Reuben. James 1, verse 8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And it's speaking of our first man because he's like the firstborn, our old man. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. 2 Peter 2:14, having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, a heart that they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. 2 Peter 3:16, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood. Which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ephesians 4, verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro. We're back on the ship, right? And this is the stabilizing factor of the body of Christ and the prayers of the saints. So we're each contributing to that end, so that we're not tossed to and fro and carried about with the wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Our initial relationship with Christ is shallow and does not have any great depth, although we may think differently of ourselves. And that's why these words are spoken of the adulterous woman who represents God's elect, who are yet in bondage to sin. The way of an adulterous woman, she eats and wipes her mouth and says, I've done no wickedness. If we are granted to continue in the truth and speak the truth in love, it will be by God's grace and the faith of Christ that this is accomplished. Ephesians 4, verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, I read that, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And this is how we're going to do that. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith. The word of God is purified through our trials, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Proverbs 30, verse 21. For three things the earth is disquieted, and for four which it cannot bear. Again, we see another proverb that aligns these numbers, three and four, together. Three represents judgment, and so when the earth is being judged, the earth is disquieted, because it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the Lord. Hebrews 10, verse 31. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Hebrews 5, 7. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. The earth is the church that is being judged through a process that is effective upon us only if we are of the remnant who are blessed. Is he that reads and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Jeremiah 22:29, O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Again, there's three earths there. It's telling us, of course, that we hear it when we're judged, when the flesh is put on. Isaiah 66, verse 2. For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembles at my word. And those are, of course, conditions that God can create within the body of Christ through our trials and through life. Disquieted is to quiver, there it is to tremble, to quake at the word of God. At first, we cannot bear what God requires of us because we are yet carnal and think that it depends on our strength and not God's. The strength of the rich young ruler of Matthew chapter 19, verses 20, 21, was in his riches, which represents his self-righteous spirit that uttered words that confirmed that his confidence was in what he had done throughout his life. What was required of him was not possible without his being dragged to Christ, because that's when all of that self-righteousness is destroyed by the brightness of Christ coming. It is when we come to the point where we know that unless the Lord opens the seals, the trumpets, and vials in our lives to judge us, we will remain hopeless and helpless against the beastly flesh we're in. God's judgments, three, disquiets our earth. For three things the earth is disquieted upon the whole of our life. That's the four. They could not bear that judgment without the faith of Christ. And so the complete man, three plus four, which equals seven, is going to be formed through the judgment that can and will be endured by the faith of Christ that is upon the whole body of Christ. Luke 22, verse 32, but I've prayed for you. And as he is, so are we. We pray for each other for this very thing, for the faith of Christ. Above all things, have the shield of faith to quench all the fiery darts of the devil. I've prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. Verse 22, for a servant when he reigns and a fool when he is filled with meat. The immature carnal Corinthian is each one of us in our appointed time, who is likened unto a servant when he reigneth, or a fool who has the meat of the word but is yet a babe and not able to rightly divide that meat of the word. Again, we're talking about the bride of Christ, and these are the stages that God brings all of his children through via Christ, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. So that word servant there is Ebed. It's the servant, a bondman. And this is where we're going with this. Galatians 4, verses 1 and 5, and it's titled for that reason, just to show the transition. Now, I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differs nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Hebrews 5, verse 13, 14. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who, by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And that's why Moses said that I'd rather suffer with the people of God. That was of greater value, because in type and shadow, of course, he was telling us that this is how discernment's going to happen as a result of our trials, and that's strong meat to be able to endure it, which we can't without Christ giving us the strength to go without the camp. Proverbs 30, verse 23, for an odious woman when she's married, and a handmaid that is heir to her mistress. Proverbs 30, verse 23, this is the BBE. A hated woman when she is married, and a servant girl who takes the place of her master's wife. That word odious is enemy or hateful, hate, to hate. The handmaid is a slave, a female slave, if you notice, a maid. And the mistress is the lady or the mistress, and that's Hebrews. H 14:4,
Him.
the feminine
Lord.
of Lord, of ruler. There you go. The feminine of Lord, a ruler. So that's telling. It's a typical of the body of Christ. This last proverb we'll look at today is again speaking of our immature relationship with our husband that demonstrates our hatred toward God by the way we keep his word, saying, Lord, Lord, but not doing the things that he commands us to do, being yet slaves to sin. So we don't think of ourselves that way, but God is saying that we're not profitable until he makes us profitable. Luke 4, 6, verse 46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? And there's never been more a rhetorical question than that one right there, because Christ knew. Matthew 7, verse 20 and 21, wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. And of course, that's Christ working in us both to will and to do, giving us power to mortify the deeds of the flesh, so that putting off the flesh so it can be replaced with the will of God, recognizing the will of God. Romans 2:13. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. And that's in the spirit, of course, because we can do the law for years. We can think that we're good, but like the rich young ruler. And then the Lord says, no, this is what is important, the righteousness of Christ. God has plans for that odious woman who is hated, and it is Esau who is typified by her. And it is Jacob who represents our hope of glory, Christ within, who God loves, and who is also within her. So the two men are in us. This is all telling us that we can be yet carnal and betrothed to Christ as a woman who is hated, as Esau was, or be as a handmaid, which is the same as saying yet a child, even though we are an heir to the throne. So it can be said that the mistress typifies Jacob, or the maturing bride who will be made ready by God's mercy shown upon her in this age. And that's the hope of this section, to remind us that God knows where we are, and we will have a detailed account of that. The world will see then, know that God took the weak and made his strength perfect through us. Romans 9:13, even as it is said, I had love for Jacob, but for Esau I had hate. Revelation 19:7, verse 7. Let us be glad with delight, and let us give glory to him, because the time has come for the Lamb to be married, and his wife has made herself ready. The last section of Proverbs chapter 30 that we'll look at next week, Lord willing, sets the stage for the last chapter of Proverbs, and is very hope-filled as it describes the humility and the power and strength that God has given to the maturing bride, so that she can, by the grace and faith of Christ, go unto perfection on the third day through a process of judgment in this life. Luke 13, verse 32, our last verse. And he said unto them, go you and tell that fox within us, behold, I cast out devils and I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. And that's talking about Christ and his body. He was doing those things, and whatever healings he did were typical of the spiritual healings that are happening to within the body of Christ right now. That's our study. Thank you all for coming out.